Next, Obinna Okani. Yes, looking very pastoral, you know, it's cool. Next, we have Crystal Onyechi. Coming in with a camel fit. I see you, sis. Get it? You guys keep clapping until they get here. Don't get tired. Okay, and last but definitely not the least, we have Evangel Anyakwa. Please come up. All right, wow. Clearly the boys are going the more pastoral route today. Okay, so this is how this is gonna work. We're gonna ask them a couple of questions. They're gonna be answering it in their own way. And then at the end, we're gonna have a couple of minutes for question and answer. So, you know, if you have a couple of questions, you can write it down so you don't forget, or, you know, you can just wait. And when it's time for question and answer, we would like you guys to please come up if you have any questions. All right, we cool? We cool? I bet. Oh, I'm gonna give you guys some microphones. So, like I said, the conversation is about securing the bag, okay? While I give them you. So, my first question for you guys is a question that I feel like a lot of us have as young people. You know, we're in that stage in our lives where we're trying to discover who we are and so my question for you guys is, how were you guys able to discover your purpose, and what do you think purpose means to you? And, you know, when you actually find it's like, oh, wow, I know what I'm supposed to do, how, you know, what do you do then? Like, how do you make sure you're not drowning under the pressure of, like, knowing what you're supposed to do with your life? Any one of y'all can answer. Go ahead.
Okay, so when I was going through this question, I first had to find a definition of purpose. So, like, purpose is defined as the reason for which something exists. So from my own understanding, for your purpose, you don't really have control over it. That's what you were created for. That is God's purpose for putting you here on earth. So how do you find that purpose? The only way you can find that purpose is by coming close to God. Like, really wanting it, you have to have that desire to, like, know what you're here for. And it just comes, like, you don't have to be anxious about it. You have to pray about it and then build that relationship with God. And then you develop the talent that God has put inside of you. And while using that talent to serve him, you will find your purpose in it. So that's my approach to that. And I don't know if...
What I think purpose is this, you know, going off of what she said, it's just what you're, like, what you're meant to do, what God has placed you on this earth to do. How I found my purpose, it was crazy, because I was in this place after graduating that where I thought I knew what I wanted to do, and I was waking up and I wasn't passionate about, you know, where I was going to work, and I was just like, am I gonna wake up for the rest of my life not doing what I'm passionate about, what like I'm here for? Because what I'm here to do will bring me joy. That's, at the end of the day, that's what God intends for us. I found it out by kind of just praying, just asking God for an answer. And it's weird the way he replies to you. It's different for everybody. And for me, it took a while to really understand. It was ideas popping into my mind literally after I was asking for something. I was asking for it, and I was getting ideas. And at first, you know, I wanted to delve right in, but I wasn't sure right away. I was nervous. I was just like, am I really about to just, like, throw away the future that I wanted for myself, what my parents wanted for me, just to do something off ideas that I'm getting in my mind? But these ideas weren't just ideas. They were things that were giving me so much peace. They were giving me things that were, like, excitement. You know, the idea of it was giving me joy. Like, okay, I could really do this with my life. And through a, like, series of, you know, emotional, you know, whatever, I eventually decided to follow that purpose, just, like, to trust God in it. Even as scary as it was, I just decided to, like, trust God and move with it, honestly.
Okay, so for me, I define a career versus a purpose. So a career is an occupation or a profession, and which is a means of earning a living. So that one is for, you know, earning a living to have money to survive, basically, a career. Now, a purpose is the reason, the dictionary definition. A purpose is the reason for which something exists or is done, made, or used, etc. Now, in general, our purpose is to worship God. You know the song, oh, to worship you I live, or the reason I live is to worship you. That's our main purpose on earth, why God created us, is to worship God. But not just to worship God by praise or worship, it's also by the by our accomplishments. Like God getting us through something we didn't think we could do is a worship, is a way of bringing glory to the name of God. That's also our purpose. Now, more specifically though, our purpose is also, each person also has a different purpose that's different from, you know, worshiping God and stuff like that. So a purpose is also a calling, and it's bigger than you. That's the difference between a career and a purpose. A purpose is bigger than you. You're doing it really to glorify it, for the people, for God's people. God gives you a purpose for his own people. Like, for example, Paul in the Bible, God gave him a purpose. He went from being a persecutor of Christians to becoming, to gaining a purpose. Now, that same passion he had with persecuting Christians, now he had a new purpose to now preach the gospel to the Gentiles, the Israelites, and so on. So that's what purpose is kind of like. It's bigger than you. It's not for you. It's for people. That's what I think.
Yeah, to echo what everyone said, I believe that a purpose is an act of faith. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." So with the purpose in mind, it's the very mission that God has given you in life, and it's up to you to get close to him so that you can understand your purpose, because you can have a career, but it does not reflect what your purpose in life is. There's a popular Afrobeat artist right now, Jules. He had an album called Leap of Faith, and after the first thing that he said was, "The leap of faith is when you can't sleep at night. It's not that, you know, you're having sleepless nights, but it's more of like you're restless to know what that purpose is. It's an act of faith. And if you're not acting in terms of what you understand of what God's purpose is for you, then it becomes more of a struggle until you find that purpose."
So I have another question, because I don't know how many of us are like go through this. Like when you go on like Instagram and Facebook, everybody's like, you know, I'm making moves, doing things in silence. And like you kind of like see people your age kind of, you know, like they figured it out. Like, oh, you know, this person has this business here. This person is a pastor here. This person is doing this. And it's kind of like, I mean, I just graduated college, you know, like how do they have it all figured out? So how do you handle like dealing with all of that while making sure like you're not like being too hard on yourself? Like how do you not get caught up in like what everyone else is doing and still stay like committed to like who you are and what you want to do for yourself?
I think that it's easy to fall into the whole social media trap of seeing people and their success and, you know, just, you know, compare yourself to them. I think it's very easy. I think to get past that, you have to realize that people aren't posting their failures. They're only posting their successes, their most high moments in their life. As well as you, you're posting that as well. And you don't know what's going behind the scenes. You don't know how many times they failed, how many times, you know, they've been persecuted or whatever. You don't know what they're going through behind the scenes. And it's so easy to just be like, oh, I'm not making it. I'm not, you know, good enough because that person is doing this and I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but they are. We all have a different timetable. You know, to get to my dream, it might take longer than you to get to your dream. And that's fine because, you know, we're on different paths in life and that's completely fine. I think accepting that, knowing that, look, my own battle, my own struggle for this dream is gonna take longer than yours or his or hers, especially if you're doing something out of the grain. If you're not doing, you know, science, law, you know, the things that are pretty typical for, you know, Africans and just what's seen as successful, it's definitely gonna take you a bit longer. And just being able to quiet the noise within yourself, within, like, around the world and just know in yourself, like, look, this might take me some time, but I'm still gonna get there. I think that's the only way you can really quiet the noise and get through it, you know?
Chidera, can you post the picture now? Okay, so can you guys read that thing that I told them to post? So it says something to ponder. New York is 3 hours ahead of California, but it does not make California slow. Someone graduated at the age of 22, but waited 5 years before securing a job. Someone became a CEO at 25 and died at 50. Another became a CEO at 50 and lived to 90 years old. Someone is still single while someone else got married. Obama retires at 55, but Trump starts at 70. Absolutely everyone in this world works based on their time zone. People around you might seem to go ahead of you. Some might seem to be behind you. But everyone is running their own race in their own time. Don't envy them or mock them. They are in their time zone and you are in yours. Now, I saw a quote on social media that said that comparison is an act of violence against yourself. And that made so much sense because everybody's on their own path. You might be facing an obstacle right now, which is on your path, which is normal. You know, this is the time for you to face that obstacle. And somebody else right now, they're just doing well. But in the future, they could face an obstacle. So everybody needs to understand that we can't really compare each other to, you know, everybody. God has a plan for every single person. And in order for you to really succeed, you have to stop looking at the next person because you need to focus on yourself, consult God, and ask him what's next for you. What, you know, just ask God to reveal his plan for you rather than focusing on what other people are doing. Because if you look at what other people are doing, that will make you make the wrong decision. Rather than doing what's your next best move, now you're looking at what other people are doing and you're trying to do something else that's not in God's plan. So that's what I think about that.
All right, I don't even know what to say after that. I feel like he said it all, but like, just to piggyback off of what he said, I seen a meme earlier this week that said, it takes traffic for a bicycle to overtake a Bentley in traffic. So like, you have to learn to love your journey. Don't look at other people. Like Crystal said, people only post the highlights. If I'm having a bad day, I'm not gonna post it. Like, I only post when I'm feeling good. So like, but if you keep watching me like, oh man, she never has a bad day, that's a lie. Cause there'll be times when it's like, we're really like low and like, no one wants to post that on social media cause you don't wanna be judged. So like, if you learn to focus on yourself, focus on how far you've come. Like, if you really check, like, you were not where you were last year. If you appreciate the journey and appreciate how far you've come, you will learn to, like, focus on yourself. And then in so doing, you will connect to what God has for you as opposed to, like, trying to be that person on social media because you're not that person. And you have a different value you bring into the world, and the world needs that. That's what you have to understand. The world needs what you bring. So, like, everybody can't bring the same thing. It has to be different.
All right, so another thing is that, you know, whenever everybody hears about like investing in yourself, it's all about like, you know, how much do you make? Oh, can I invest in stocks and real estate? But I think it goes beyond that, right? Like, so what are things that you guys do to invest in yourself and make sure that you're securing your future, not just financially, but in other areas of your life?
So for me, I try to first be a reference. The reference point for me is the Bible. Just being able to bring everything in prayer and being able to have that quiet time with God and try to consult with him and understand what he has in store for me, my life, my business, my family, things like that. And then I also believe that having the right people around you is very necessary, your tribe, because these are the people who are going to be putting into you those who may be around you, who may see your dream or your aspirations as probably not the best, are not the people that you want to have around you, because you want to be able to understand that the journey, like the last question, your journey is your own journey, and those around you need to understand that, and that includes your family, your friends, and investing in putting in time into relationships that you have, spirit-filled relationships around you is another thing that helps as a resource for me to be able to move on and continue on.
I agree with what he said. I very much agree with what he said, because it kind of ties in with what I said one time at a prayer meeting on Wednesday. I'm like, for youth, the biggest favor you can do yourself is like right now when you're not married, you're still single, there's no kids, no husband to like, you know, take you away from God. I feel like the biggest favor you can do yourself right now is to like know God for yourself personally, because then everything just falls into place, because now you don't have to like hackle with this baby while you're trying to know what God has in stock for you. So like this time when you're still single and you don't have, and the only thing you're focusing on is your career, and obviously God should be your first priority. So like if you do yourself this favor and like invest that time in knowing God, that's the biggest investment you can give yourself at this time and age. And then everything will just fall into place, and then it'll be a stress-free life. And then by the time your other peers that you're comparing yourself to start to wonder, oh, how did she get there? You've put in the work. Nobody saw that, but you put in the work, a lot of work. And you know, you just go from there. And I believe like God has put like a special gift in everyone that you also need to invest in. It doesn't take money, because it's a gift from God. Like, I'm gonna call my sister up, but my sister likes to dance. She doesn't need money to do that. So I've encouraged her in so many ways. You need to put yourself out there. And you know, she's now getting it, and she's trying to like invest in that, but it's not costing her anything. But if she can build off of that, maybe that's why God put her here, to bless people with that gift. And she doesn't have to stress herself to get money out of it. So if you find that thing that God has put in you, there's no stress. Just develop it and keep going.
Yes, I definitely agree with investing time with God. And to be honest, I don't really think it's too much of an investment, because you can incorporate it into your everyday going about. Driving to work, you can play the audio in your car. You know what I'm saying? If you're just chilling at home, just play some worship songs, like just get into the spirit. It's really not too difficult. The only thing is making the actual choice to do so. I also think investing your time into your craft to try to figure out what it is. Dedicate time in your week, during your day, even if it's 30 minutes to an hour. Just dedicate time. If you haven't figured it out, dedicate that time to really researching, looking into it. If you have figured it out, put in time into researching what you need to do to become better at that. Also, I agree with what you said about investing in the people that you're around, and the time with people that you're around, especially like mentorship. Proverbs 15:22 says, Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. I think Amplified says good advisors, which is also very key. You know what I'm saying? Because your parents are great advisors in life, but they might not be great advisors for your profession or what you're trying to do. Find time to find mentors that will be able to help you out in your journey and what you're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? It's not everybody that's going to be a good mentor to you. Even if they're, you know, brought up in the church and they're like Christ-driven, like they're not always going to be the best mentors to you. So find them and then spend time with them. Like sacrifice going out with your friends. I know we're young, but if you sacrifice this time now, when you're older, you get to chill more. You know what I'm saying? You get to go on vacation and do more for yourself because you've created like income. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're trying to do business or trying to do something that takes a lot of time. Spend that time now. You'll be able to make more later on and chill then. Like work now, chill later.
It's important to understand that whatever you put in, whatever you're listening to, you're soaking in anything, like what people are telling you, the people around you, your friends, what they're telling you all the time, what you're constantly hearing, everything, all of that affects you. It produces who you are. So it's very important to make sure that we're gaining like the right knowledge. And that goes by having the right people around you, people that are about something, you know, you can learn from them. Reading books, like when I was younger, I didn't like to read any books except for if I had to for like school. But after college, I realized like reading books is really beneficial. Even watching videos on YouTube about anything, like your main goal should be trying to better yourself. However, just looking at yourself, what do you think that you're not that good at and try to get better at it? So it could be by, okay, I'm not good at whatever it is. You go and look it up on YouTube, how to do this better. You watch it, you know, just constantly. The Bible says that wisdom is worth more than gold. Understanding is worth more than silver. So, I mean, if you really think about it, you know that Solomon is the wisest man in the Bible, and he's the one that said that. He said that wisdom is worth more than gold, and silver is what? Silver is worth much more. Understanding is worth much more than silver. So, I mean, I don't think he was joking when he said that. I think he really means it. So it's important for us to really try to learn new things daily. Focus more on learning rather than distractions. It's not that easy, but, you know, with practice, you can do it.
So something that you guys all said was that, you know, in figuring out your tribe, the people that are speaking to you. And I know in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for all out of it flows the springs of life, right? So that's that Bible verse is telling you about guarding your heart. So I know we have this culture as young people where we just, oh, you a hater, I'ma cut you, that's it. But, you know, sometimes you can't cut these people out of your lives. So how do you, what are the ways that you guys have figured out how to guard your heart and prevent, like, the negative energy or people that are not necessarily supporting your vision and your plan for your lives? How do you make sure that what they're saying or the things that they're doing are not necessarily dragging you down and preventing you from going ahead and doing what you need to do?
I think it's by reading the Word of God, to be honest. When you read God's Word, in any situation, the right word for that situation will come up in your mind. The Holy Spirit will tell you, okay, oh, this person said whatever they said, but no, you're blessed and highly favored. You know, if you focus and if you absorb a lot of it, whatever comes up is going to come, the Bible will come up to you. So let's say somebody tells you something, oh, you're not going to be good at that. You know that why that's not from God. That's negativity. That's the devil that's saying that. So you already have that knowledge, so you're not gonna accept it because you know what's true and what's not true. So I think that's how you guard your heart, by filling it up with the Word of God, to be honest.
I agree with Evangel. I also wanna add that when you start to realize like our time here on earth is really short, and you wanna like make the most of it.
Now you have the power to control who's around you, to be honest. So like, if you have that one person that keeps bringing negative energy or like trying to talk you down and stuff, you have the power to stop that. Like, they're not gonna put a gun to your head to like keep hanging out with you. I'm just saying, like, so you can minimize the fellowship with whoever that is or whoever those people are, and then now focus on people that uplift you, because that is what you want to keep hearing. So if you have friends that uplift you, and you have, like, let me say you have 50 friends, and like 45 of them are always so negative, and you have just 5 friends that are always so uplifting, they want to like support your dream and your purpose, those are your real friends, because crowd doesn't matter. Like, if you can find one valuable person in your life that, you know, that uplifts you all the time, that is really that one person that you need to succeed. So it's very essential to like know when to, I won't say cut people off, but you can, you know, encourage them and wish them well on their path. But you have to focus on, I'm very big on mental health. I'm very big on mental health. Because what happens is, if I say something to you right now, you might brush it off. But when you go out later, when you're by yourself, it will come back. And then you start doubting yourself, and you know, and that is something that I've been doing with myself this year. Like, whatever brings negative energy to me, I'm slowly walking away. I'm not fighting, but you'll see me like withdraw myself. And I feel like that's just like cleaning out your life, which is very essential for your mental health. So like, if you have that kind of energy around you, I advise you, start cleaning out. It doesn't have to be a fight, just remove yourself from the equation. And you will see that they won't really notice your gun until they need you. Those are users. So like, when you take yourself out of the equation, they're really not gonna notice your gun. Only those that truly care about you will notice when you stop talking. So like, do yourself a favor and just keep it going.
Yes, I agree. I think cutting people off is a bit extreme. It becomes like a criteria. Like, who do you cut off then? Is it that somebody does you wrong that you cut off? You'll be a very lonely person. You know what I'm saying? No one can do you right except for God. So I think, you know, as Christians, as people who are filled with the Spirit, you have a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of discernment that God gives you. And that just staying in communion with God, you'll know. You know, he'll reveal it in one way or another. Even if it's somebody that you've known your whole life, somebody that, you know, you have this bond with, if they're bringing you down, like, they're not meant to be in your life, and you can love them from afar, you can. Like, it's okay to cut people off sometimes. You don't have to do it so abruptly, or it doesn't have to be an argument. It just has to be like, I love you, but, you know, we're not meant to be in each other's life, and that's it.
I just wanted to add, with the spirit of discernment, just being able to understand and siphon through what critique is meant for you and which isn't. Constructive criticism is very necessary as well. And understanding what people are saying is either coming from a negative place or a positive place of improvement. You know, oftentimes we may silo ourselves and think that we may have all the answers. And what I believe is necessary is that spirit of discernment, so that we can be able to go through some of the things that may hurt, but at the end of the day is for our own good.
So I just have this question for you guys. What role do you think like your family, like your siblings, your parents play in investing in you, right? So it's easy to, like you guys said, you know, there's some people you can walk away from, right? Like, you can straight up walk away from your friend, like, if you really want to, but these are people that they're with you not really by choice, right? Like, they're just your family, right? So what role have like your parents or your siblings, have they played in you being able to follow your purpose? Or what role do you think that they can play to helping you be confident enough to just follow through what you need to do?
Family plays like a very big role, but sometimes like your family be the ones bringing you down. I'm just gonna say, sometimes, not all the time, like, but very rarely, sometimes your family are the ones you need to like step away from sometimes, you know? But I definitely agree that family plays a vital role in who you become or who you shape out to be, especially the parents. And I just want to beg the parents, like, stop comparing us to, like, your friend is doing that. You could do better and stuff. I find that that thing, like, even if your child does not react at that point, and, you know, they're so good at what they're doing, but when they step away from you, they just start comparing themselves, and they just start feeling like they're not enough. So I said something to my my nephew. He's 4 years old. So I called him on video call, and he was doing something. I'm like, Bubba, you're acting like a bushman, right? And they all laughed about it. A week later, he goes to his mom. He goes, Mommy, am I really a bushman? Auntie said I'm a bushman. So my sister called me right away and was like, oh, see what you said to him. He still remembers a week after. So, like, I felt so bad. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. You're not a bushman. You're president. And, you know, and then I started calling him dad. So now when I call him on the phone, I call him, hey, where's Mr. President? So, like, he calls himself dad now. So, like, I can't stress, like, the power of words for a four-year-old. I wouldn't think he would remember that, but he remembered it. And for him to come back a week later, it really did bother him. So, like, I feel like parents play a vital role. Like, you need to, like, uplift your child. Even if you see that visibly they're not doing well, keep telling them what they can become. Call it into existence, because when you're not there, that's the only thing they remember you for. And they say, they can remember, oh, my mom did call me a president. Oh, my auntie did call me a president. That's what I'm going to become. And, you know, that mindset just grows with them. So I just feel like it's very important. Family is, like, the most important in who you become eventually. So we need to uplift ourselves. If you're not doing so already, or, like, when your sibling comes up to you and be like, oh, this is this really great idea that I have, don't just tell them, oh, that's not going to work. Just tell them, oh, okay, well, I think you can do this and do that to make it better, and give support. Support is really free. Like, it's free. Advice is free. It's the least you can do.
Speaking from experience, so I own a business, and I've been owner of this since, like, 2015. And this was the year that I decided to take it on a little more full time than before, with some of my business partners. And it was a decision of understanding where I am at in building the business and understanding finances as well. So I, you know, came to my parents and was like, hey, I think I need to come back home. Since I've been, like, you know, out working another state for a number of years after college. And, you know, I had to explain to them, like, what the type of business it is and some of the things they don't understand. But then at the end of the day, I showed them that, like, these are the results and these are the things that we believe will come out of persistence if we put in the time and effort for the business. And all they had to say was okay. That was support in and of itself, to understand that they may not understand what the purpose for my life is as of yet, but if I, you know, come to them in full assurance that this is what I want to do, the way that they were able to show their support for me was, you know, receive me back in with open hands.
That's good. All right, we're going to take the Sunday school offering in a bit. But while the ushers get ready, I just had another question for you guys. So it's, I don't know how to ask this. Okay, so have you ever had to fight for your purpose? Like, just say, you know what, I'm going to just do it. Like, no matter what, everybody, like, nobody's supporting me, I'ma just, or like, Mommy, I'm quitting college. There's nothing you're gonna do about it. I'm quitting because this is what I wanna do.
And like, have you ever been in that type of situation where you really had to push and stand your ground? And what gave you the courage to do that? Yeah.
I actually think that every day is a push. You have to understand that your purpose is bigger than whatever anyone else can see. And once you're fully invested in what you are trying to do, then every day is going to be time for you to show why this purpose is meant for you. It may not look like a physical push or struggle or a fight, but every day to show that your fruit is going to ripen once you sow the seeds is something that's very important.
Going off what he said, I also started a business this year, and I guess that initial push, that initial like fight was kind of difficult. To just kind of relay what I was trying to do to my parents, because my initial dream, I'm just gonna put it out there, I wanted to go to law school. And you know, this was my dream since I was in high school. It's been the only thing I've ever seen myself doing, like in the box that we're put in. I explained it earlier that I graduated and I started working, and I was just like, I'm not trying to really be in this box anymore. So then it was just like, okay, am I gonna live the life that I'm trying to live, or am I gonna live the life that, you know, the world or my parents want me to live? And I just had to take, I guess, the courage that God was giving me through these ideas, through these thoughts that I wanted to do. I just had to take it, pull it from that, and just go with it. I just had to really make the decision, like, I'm gonna do it. Today I start. And then I just did, I just started. You know what I'm saying? It's an internal battle, but on the outside, it's really just making that decision to go, to do. And it's hard. It's harder than it sounds, but it was really just as simple as that.
Yeah, I think that with every purpose, it takes determination in order to do the things that you have to do, like every single day. Even while I was in school, you know, there were hard times, very hard times, and I had to just keep, you know, God was helping me remember different, like, scriptures. I don't want to sound like I'm too holy, but honestly, I'm being serious, like, God really did help me. So, yeah, with every purpose is definitely be ready. You should be ready for the challenge. You're definitely gonna be challenged. The adversity is what God is gonna use to get you ready for the next stage. So, you know, that's just regular. That's expected, I think.
With everything that everybody said, I just feel like when you're like fighting for your purpose, you have to believe in yourself more than every other person, because there'll be times when it's a struggle, and when it looks like no one else is believing in you, is what you believe in about yourself that keeps you going. So, like, yeah, we all struggle with it. It's a daily thing, like you said, getting out of bed, trying to do that. It's a struggle.
Thank you so much for that answer. So we're going to pray on the offering really quickly while the ushers pass. So, like I said, if you have any questions, please come to the center aisle over here. The panelists are still available to answer any questions that you might have. I'm gonna hand the mic over to Kim. She's gonna facilitate the question and answer as we move forward. Peace out.
Good morning, everyone. So yeah, just like Lulu said, if anyone has any questions, please line up at the mic. Any questions at all?
Thank you. I was going to ask a question. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay. I was just going to ask a question. Somebody mentioned
if you want to pursue your purpose and drop out of college, and how have you dealt with that? And I don't think any of you spoke to that. And I was going to ask, because I have a lot of young people who cite Steve Jobs, that he and Bill Gates, both of them dropped out of college, we all know that. And they will give you that example. And I want, can somebody speak to that?
Yes. I think any purpose without a plan is fruitless. You have to have some sort of plan in place. If your purpose dictates that you are not supposed to go to college, then you have to actually outline what the 4 years that you would have spent in college will look like. That's the least you can do to be able to have that as a point. And the reason being that, at least in college, there's some sort of schematic. There's a floor plan of what you will be doing in college, and in 4 years or so, you will receive your degree. It means that you have mastered or you've been able to go through certain level of coursework so that you can be able to be competitive in the job field. But if you don't have any plan behind your purpose and you're going to cite Steve Jobs or Mark Zuckerberg, like these people, I am presuming, had some sort of plan. They had some sort of business or some idea that they already saw into the future would work, and they worked towards their plan. So.
I think that if God has spoken to you and told you your purpose and it doesn't include college, go ahead and drop out. I mean, it's hard for me to say because, you know, we're Nigerian. But I mean, go ahead and do that. If that's what God has for you, like, do that. But don't do it because Steve Jobs is doing it. Steve Jobs is a man at the end of the day. Like, don't base your whole life, what you're doing for the rest of your life, on what Steve Jobs did. Like, it worked for him. That's amazing. But it might not work for you. It's only God that can say, like, drop out of school. It's only God. Don't listen to anybody else. Don't listen to anybody's example. It's only God who can literally tell you, like, this. And he's not going to just tell you to drop out without giving you an alternative plan. He'll tell you, like, look, school isn't it, but this is it. And he'll give you the play-by-play on how you're supposed to do it.
I agree with what they said. And what Fortunato told me one time, yes, Steve Jobs dropped out of college, but he dropped out of Harvard. I'm just saying, like, you need to have a plan. So for him to have gotten to Harvard, it means he's smart. So don't just drop out just because.
Parents, you know, because when your parents sent you to college, maybe you've gone 2 years, 3 years, and you want to drop out. Your parents they've invested money. Maybe some of them have taken loans to bring you to that point. I just think that it's wisdom that even if you're not in the midst of the whole thing, you think your purpose is not college, that you get that certificate. It doesn't harm anything. Just get it and keep it and pursue your purpose. But at least in any case, if that purpose detours, you can go back to your certificate. I think it's a better wisdom than just quitting. And then the loans they've taken becomes a waste. And all the times you've put in there becomes a waste. And sometime you continue to pursue that purpose, and maybe along the way it detours, and you want to fall back on your parents, you know? So I'm not saying God is leading. I believe that God is speaking to you, but also listen to your parents, you know, because your parents they hear God too. So I'm encouraging you. I mean, I'm using this platform to encourage young people, because sometimes the biggest thing I hear is Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, you know, so that we think again before we drop out of college. Praise the Lord.
And I just wanted to, as we talk of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg, now let's have in mind that these are minute percentage that might have dropped out that eventually succeeded. There are maybe 99% that drop out and nobody ever heard of them again that are not being mentioned. So we should be very cognizant of that fact.
Praise the Lord. I actually was, my mind was blown away when you spoke, Ifeanyi. I would like to call you Ifeanyi. And the reason why I want to call you by that name is just to explain to us what that name actually means. There's nothing too hard for God to do. So when you talk about the quotes that you gave, that's awesome. I want us to understand that we are all unique in nature. I don't need anybody else to make me who God has called me to be. So I want us to have that at the back of our minds. You know, when you read the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. God never said, looking unto Mr. A or Mr. B. Right. Although there is a possibility that people around you can actually help give you that energy that keeps you going.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you are a unique human being.
Yeah.
You know, looking around us, a lot of times we get into trouble. A lot of times we get into debts because we want to be like what this person is, forgetting that people's purpose in life is different,
right.
But forgetting that you're probably making more than Mr. A, and you're able to like buy this house, buy this car, or whatever, and you're still able to take care of your business.
Yeah.
You're still able to meet up with all your needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're making this amount of money and you want to build this kind of house because Mr. A built it, you're going to end up being in debt almost all your life. So I want us to understand that part of being unique and always going back to God. Yes, they've gone, be happy for them. Be glorify God for them, but always look unto Jesus and ask the Lord, what will you have me do?
Yeah.
And allow the Lord to lead you. And thank you so much for those that really, really touched me. Bless you all.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have two questions. And I want the questions to come from you guys or any of our youths. All right? You know, we live in the age where cutting people off is a norm. It's very easy to cut people off. And we, as older youths or parents, we like to have communications with you, our youths. We want to be your friends. But we notice that when you are corrected, you cut us off like that. You might be coming to church late and we tell you, you're late to church. Next Sunday, you won't talk to us anymore. So can you tell us, is there a new way we can correct you or correct our youths without risking being cut off?
Honestly, I don't think anybody should cut anybody off because they corrected them. Like, you know, that's not maturity, to be honest. But, you know, somebody corrects you, you should take it and weigh it and see if it's true, what you need to gain from it, and then gain that. But I also think it also has to do with the approach, how that person corrects that person. You know, we're African and sometimes we tend to be aggressive or, you know, talk to other people as if they are our kids, but that person might not even know you that well and you're now telling them, oh, don't wear that shirt again, you know. They're like, who are you to tell me not to wear that shirt again? So stuff like that, you know, I think it all depends on approach. What did the Bible say? The Bible said a soft answer deflects anger, right? So it depends on, you know, like I said, the approach, everything when you correct somebody, they should take it if they're mature enough.
Okay, my second question. When you are corrected, but you feel like you are right, where do you bank on to make sure that you're actually right? Because I remember, I think it's like about 20 years ago, I was having an argument with Pastor Emmanuel about sagging, and I was telling him there's nothing wrong with it. Sagging your pants, having your pants on, that time I felt like there was nothing wrong with it. But like you said, that approach, the way he was arguing with me made me to go home and reflect. And I have things that I bank on that made me realize that dress, although it didn't happen immediately though. But as you, like when people tell you stuff, maybe the way you dress, maybe showing cleavages, sagging your pants, you know, doing things one thing, and we talk to you and you feel like you are right, do you have a place you bank on to make sure that you're actually right?
I mean, honestly, I think it's, not to sound holy, is the Spirit of God. Like, if you're wearing something and your spirit is telling you this thing you're wearing is not correct, like, for the occasion, then I think that's what should guide you, what you're wearing. If you feel okay with what you're wearing, then it's okay for you. Unless it's, like, terrible, then I don't know, maybe your judgment is just, like, bad.
I use the clothing part as an example. Yeah. I mean, in general, you know, because, I mean, this age, especially when you are between the age of 18 to 25, we always think that what we are doing is right. You know, especially if you are very, very smart in school. You know? So you usually think that what I'm doing is right, but I think there should be a place, like when you are told something, in my own case, Pastor Vito was the bank. Like somebody said something to me, I say, Pastor, somebody said this thing to me, what do you think? You know? And some other people, I have some of my friends that I talk to, hey, listen, somebody said that I'm mean on social media. Am I really mean on social media? My wife is the one that does that for me. You know, tells me how I sound when I type or things like that. So I think as a youth, you're supposed to have either that person in your life or where you can bank and know that what somebody told you, especially like those things that they don't have it as a sin in the Bible. Like wearing earring, braiding your hair. It's not a sin in the Bible. But somebody might tell you, don't do it. And they tell you why you shouldn't do it. And you feel like they want to control your life. So I think you should have, you know, like a place that you reflect on to make sure that your path is going smooth.
I agree with you, and I feel like we all do.
Oh, sorry. We only have 2 minutes left, so thank you, Uncle Obi. Thank you so much.
Good morning, church. Praise morning. God. Okay, my contribution is, you know, whenever I hear of purpose or about purpose, what comes to my mind, and the question is, why am I here on earth? Why am I created? There are this question of significance, and there's this question of existence. So when you are created here on earth, there is a reason why God created you. There is a purpose for your life. Youth, everyone here, even the adults, have you ever thought of that before you even venture into any business or anything that you want to do in life? So my question is, actually, I'm supporting what Christos says. When you are created here on earth, or when you are growing, there is something that God has instilled in you. This is what I want it to be. And I started doing it, or I started pursuing it in school. And then my parent comes along and said, I want you to do this. You know, prayerfully ask God, if this is actually what God wants you to do, regardless of what our parents think about doctors, lawyers, and so on and so forth, you know, prayerfully venture into what God is telling you to do, especially if you are a child of God. God is not an author of confusion. He's not going to confuse you. Follow that step. There's something that you said that I applaud. When you said that, you know, when you actually find that thing that God calls you to do, look for a mentor, somebody that has gone into that business, doing that business. Find out, go close to that person, find out how that person is succeeding. What are you doing? This is what I want to do. Get some information and follow up what God has instilled in you to do. And Udoka said something about cutting people off. Yes, there's a purpose why God created you. God sent people in your life for a purpose. If the people around you are not what you think God is saying about your life, respectfully, peacefully, lovely, cut them off. After you've tried to pull them into what you think God has called you for, and you think that you're not heading the right path, they're not heading the right path, and are not going towards what God has called you to do, nicely, respectfully, cut them off. There is a purpose why God brings people around you. And that people around you are not doing that what you think they're supposed to be doing. Don't be shy about it. Move on. After you've tried to correct them, after you've tried to pull them into your direction, don't hesitate to do what? And move on. Because you don't want nobody to pull you.
Thank you so much. 30 seconds, Kevin.
Thank you, Auntie Meg, for saying that. I wanted to respond to Sister Carolyn's comment. If you're taking out a loan for your child or your son or your daughter to go to school, and you see that they dropped out, this is something that the Bible says, in all your ways acknowledge the Lord and he will direct your path. Not some ways, not the ones you think you could do, in all your ways, because God is not the author of confusion. So if God didn't want your child to go to college, he would, and you acknowledge God and acknowledge God and whether he should go to college or not, God would tell you if he should go to college or not. And that way you won't be taking out loans and putting yourself in debt, unnecessary debt. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Obi, do you have a question or a comment?
It's a comment.
Comment? Okay, just short.
Yeah, so I was just going to stress like the importance of getting confirmation from Christ, but I also wanted to like sort of speak to the parents as well, because we're in a time where, yes, timing is key when you're supposed to like launch your business, and God will confirm those timings. And if you wait till 4 years where after college, then you'll launch, someone within that time frame could have possibly taken that from you. So I was just saying that, stressing the importance of getting confirmation on what that timing is. If that 4 years of college was supposed to prepare you for going into your business, but if that 4 years was not supposed to prepare you, then God will confirm.
Praise God. Well, my thing is, what in terms of what my brother said about timing too. So for me, I will use myself as an example. Like maybe 3 years ago, my friend got into this program and she wanted me to come along. Come, let's do it together, you know, it will be easier. And I said to her, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to do that program yet. But, you know, and I wasn't ready. But within that program, within that 3 years, God took me through a journey whereby I had to learn how to use the equipment he needed me to use for that program.
Exactly.
So I learned it within that. And within that time, I said to myself, you know, if I had done this 2 or 3 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do it. But now God has made it easy for me. Yeah, I just want to confirm that.
It's important that you let God. That was actually happened to me too.
Yeah, it's important that you let God take you through that process.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for all those comments and questions. For giving another round of applause to our panelists. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for dropping some gems. We love you. If you don't want the water, you can keep it. So Youth Sunday is definitely off to an interesting start. Can we all rise?